Monty has his turn. I feel like I ain't been up here in a month. Y'all know what we own, don't you? The title is God's Word is Seed, and we're on the thorny ground. And I forgot my glasses. Nah, there's not but two pair up here. It's just minor bifocals, but if y'all notice, I take them on and off anyway. I can't breathe with glasses on. It's what I feel like. I can't breathe good. But anyway, if you got your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Verse 5. He says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, notice here, let's go ahead and finish reading this. Verse 9. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns," and that's the one we're going to be on this morning, "are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Now I'm going to read verse 14. In the Amplified Bible. And if you don't have one, Beth will put it up on the screen. She's got that fixed now. "And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear." But notice this: "But as they go on their way." This is not just for a minute. What he's talking about here and what he's describing here is as you go on your everyday life, this stuff. He goes on and he says here, "As they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of" what? "Of life. And their fruit does not ripen." Doesn't say they didn't have any. It just says it doesn't ripen, because we know over there that where joy came, faith came, and they started getting some roots is how they made it over here to the other ground. Now I looked up some words here. I actually looked up every one of those words. But before I read that, let's go over to Mark 4. I'm trying to get a little ahead of myself here. Verse 18 and 19. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. "And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep." Notice that. When something creeps, what's it doing? It moves real slow, hidden, right? It says other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now I looked up that word cares. In the Webster's Dictionary, it says a feeling of concern, anxiety, or worry. But in the back of the Strong's Concordance, not where the verse is, but in the very back of it, it says, "overmuch concern for earthly things." Now, let's go over to 1 John 2. We're going to start in verse 15, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. Beth will put it up if you don't have one on the screen. He says, "Do not love or cherish" what? "The world." We just read over there in Mark 4 about the things of the world, right? He says, "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification. Didn't we just read something about some craving in Matthew 4? He says, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. He said, don't trust an uncertain riches, remember? He says, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself, and the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides or remains forever. Now, I looked up that word cures over there in Mark 4, and it said, overmuch concern for earthly things. This whole thing right here is talking about earthly things. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. The Bible talks about how the Lord, he says, what is that over in Psalms? It says that he daily loads us up with benefits. The Bible says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. You know, all this stuff. You know, it talks about the blessing of the Lord, how it makes rich and adds no sorrow. So it's all through the Bible. But how many knows, in thorny ground, that's your pitfall. It's not the same thing that was over there in the wayside or all the other grounds. This one here is about stuff in this world. Now let's look at Matthew 6. If y'all remember, we read Matthew 6 last week. We're going to read it this week, but it's a different part of Matthew 6. This will be in the Amplified. It says, while anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away. Hold up, that's Matthew 13. I'm sorry. I thought that didn't look right. I have so many places in my Bible marked. Let me say something before we go on here. The last Sunday that I was up here, I don't know if y'all discerned it or noticed it or not, but we had a lot of demonic activity going on. I don't know if y'all remember, even noticed it. But it's like, you know, sometimes we'll have a little problem with the sound system, or there'll be a little problem with the internet, you know, or maybe you got some crying kids or something where it's a little, but no, the last Sunday that I was up here, it was like so much demonic activity. Things up here was going crazy. Internet is crashing. Beth can't get nothing done. Facebook, nothing would work. And how many knows, it's up to us not to let that happen. Because anytime that we assemble, you better believe the devil wants to get right in the middle of it and either stop or hinder what God is doing. And that's up to us to stop that. It's not up to God. In this room right now, every one of us in this room has at least one angel that is in here with you. Sometimes you got more than just one, but everybody has at least one. Well, in this room right now, there's demons and there's angels. And there's us. And angels do what? Hearken to the voice of the word of the Lord. I thought about the story I heard Kenneth Hagin tell one time. Now, he says Jesus himself appeared to him a few times. And on this particular time, he was trying to tell him something. He said, like, the Lord was standing here. He said, and there was this demon. He said, look, kind of like a little monkey imp looking thing. And said it kept jumping up. If y'all have read his book, y'all know what I'm talking about. Kept jumping up, and it'd say, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. He said, and I was thinking, you know, and said, Lord, why don't you do something about that? I can't hear what you're saying. Just yakety-yak, yakety. What's he doing? All he's doing is trying to run interference where he can't get what he needs. He tries to run interference here where we can't get what we need. And said, he told him, said, Lord, why don't you do something about that? And the Lord told him, I can't. He said, I know I misunderstood you. You can. He said, no, I can't. He said, why can't you? He said, because I gave you the power and authority to do something about that. And if you don't do something about it, nothing will get done about it. So he rebuked the demon, and sure enough, Jesus went on finishing what he was telling. So anytime that I feel that from now on, we're going to stop and we're going to take care of that, okay? Because sometimes you don't even notice it or whatever, but then sometimes it you do. So if we do, we have to stop and we have to take care of that. Why? Because if we don't, you just let that go on. He keeps doing it. And we don't, none of us. I can't get out things the way I need to get it out. And you can't hear it the way you need to hear it. So we're going to make sure that none of that happens anymore. where was I at? Matthew 6. Okay. We didn't read that, did we? All right. Verse 19. This is red, so we know it's Jesus talking. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Let me stop right here for just a second. The devil, one of the things that he likes to do is either get us in the ditch on one side or the other of what the Lord says. Now, some people, I've even heard it taught before, they'll read this and even ministers themselves and say, "See, we're not supposed to have stuff here in the earth. We're supposed to only have stuff in heaven." How many knows that's not true? He said, "Occupy," which means do business until I come. There's buildings we got to get. Why? Because there's people we got to house. I mean, I'm not believing God that we're the only ones that's going to be here forever. You know what I'm saying? There's lands we got to have. There's finances we've got to have to do missions and all kinds of different. So we have to have substance and stuff here in the earth. But that can't be the most important thing. So he's not saying here, don't have anything. I know a girl one time, Scotty had went over to her house and she was had it wrong on the scripture like what I'm talking about. She come out there and had tinfoil on the top of her head and telling them how we're not supposed to have anything. Number one, you got tinfoil on top of your head because of the aliens or something. I don't know what your deal is, but I'm not listening to you. Right? People got tinfoil on their head, they already got a problem. But she has this belief that she's not supposed to have anything. And that's not true. So he says here, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." He says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He talks about the light of the body. Skip on down to verse 24. He says, "No man can serve two masters." Now remember, keep this in context of what he's talking about. He's talking about stuff, right? Laying up. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." 24 in the Amplified. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Deceitful riches. Didn't we read that in Luke 8 and Mark 4 about deceitful riches? That's what he's saying here. "Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in." Now, let's look at 2 Timothy 4. God's not getting on to us or anything like that. He's trying to help us to be aware. Because there's some real dangers in this stuff. We teach prosperity majorly here. Not just finances, in every way. Prosperity in your marriage, prosperity in your body is health and healing, living in divine health. Prosperity in your finances, prosperity in your relationships, all of that kind of stuff. But how many knows if the devil can't get you over here to where you won't have any of it, then he wants you over here on the other side to where that stuff becomes the main thing. I can't tell you, I have seen it over the years. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. I mean, we've been here over 21 years of when seasons change, people change. "Well, it's just too hot out there, and I got to go to the lake. I work 6 days a week." Oh, y'all not saying nothing. They got to run to the river. Listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to the river. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going on vacation. All of that stuff is fine as long as it's kept in its proper place, and it's okay with God. I told somebody the other day, because I've been looking about a place and asking the Lord about vacation this year. And they said, "Well, I didn't even ask him. I just booked it." And I said, "Well, I ask. I ask him. Why? I care." You know, Scotty, he has a lot that he has to do. You know, I mean, really a lot. When you pastor full-time, run your own business full-time, I mean, he can get 20 to 25 phone calls a day, and every one of them is a problem. And they wanted it fixed last week. So, I mean, all of that, plus you got your land, cows, all this other stuff that goes on. So he's a very busy guy, you know, and he's wanting to take a couple of days, you know, just get away from everything and just kind of relax a little bit or whatever. And I told him, I said, we can't go right now. He said, why can't we go right now? I said, well, we're right in the middle of a teaching at church. He said, well, we've been on that for 5 months already. And I'm like, well, I don't care. We can't go and not do that, you know. And then business, you know, our lives or everything we do almost has to be scheduled because there's so much responsibility and stuff we have to do. Now, you're looking at two people that came from a background of, we live in the truck and all of our clothes go in two brown paper bags, and I'm not kidding. That wherever we are, if we just have a notion, you know, or a feeling or a thought that morning when we get up about leaving Alabama and going to Florida, we pack our little two brown paper bags full of clothes, and here we go. Can't do that no more. Sometimes I miss that. I mean, really, I do. What I miss about it is the spontaneousness to where you can just go. There's no way either one of us now can just go anywhere. And so now everything that we do, we have to ask the Lord about. Why? Number one, we want to be in His will. We want it to be blessed. We want it to be in proper timing. You know what I'm saying? But then you've got Christians, they don't ask the Lord about none of that stuff. And I'm like, are you serious? You better ask Him about all that stuff, because you could go to Florida and you're supposed to still be in Alabama and have a very bad accident, or any kind of thing could happen. But the point to all that is He has to be number one. He has to be first. And if He's going to be number one and He's going to be first, that means I ask about everything. I ask about the clothes that I wear to church. Maybe that don't matter to y'all. It matters to me, because you know what? I get judged for everything I do, everything I say, everything I wear. Why? I'm the pastor's wife. Do y'all know that's one of the reasons? That's one of the reasons why Travis kind of is the way he is. Y'all are like, well, how is he? Well, he's not a real social person, number one. He probably gets a little bit of that from his mama, because his daddy's very social. But then another thing, ever since he was like, what did we start this church? He was 8 or 9. I think he may have been 9. But he has seen people walk in the doors and say, talk about how they love God and how they love us and all that stuff, then get offended or something happened. Then they're all over Facebook talking about his mom and daddy. Not his pastor or the pastor's wife. His mom and daddy. Why am I saying that? Because you can't allow yourself to become offended. See, just because we done come through this ground up, I have had 3 opportunities this week for major offense. Worked on it 2 days to not let it get in here. Why? Because that thing will try to drive you. Stay on your mind. Stay on your mind. Stay on your mind. I had 2 doctor's reports that wasn't too good that tries to drive you. Stay on your mind. Talk about it. Stay on your mind. Talk about it. Stay on your mind. Talk about it. See, we never get out of this. We never get out of this. Because you know what? Whenever we do get whatever it is we're believing God for right now, there'll be something else. Why? Because He's not going to stop. He's always going forward. And if He's going to do anything in the earth, He has to do it through His people that will allow Him to do it. So, did we ever read Matthew? I don't remember. Oh, we're at 2 Timothy now. I'm still behind. All right, what'd I say? 4? Verse 9. This is Paul talking. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He says, for Demas has forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. But notice what he says. He says, Demas forsook me. Why did he forsake him? Because he loved the present world. Now, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the fishing he loved. I have no idea. Maybe it was the boat. Maybe it was the barbecue. And maybe it was something else. But do you realize this dude was in ministry? He's in ministry with the Apostle Paul. Do you know how many times? I know you don't know, but I just say that. How many times that people have been here and been in ministry and they just don't show up? Why? We made plans to go to the lake today. Y'all not saying nothing. And people tell us, it's too hard there. The only thing that we ask out of people that's in ministry, if you can't be here or not going to be here, to maybe let us know ahead of time so we can get somebody to fill your position or just know you're not going to be here. See, like when me and Scotty backslid, we didn't hear nothing out of Brother Brad for a little while. Reason being, he thought we was off evangelizing. We wasn't evangelizing. We was backslid. Then Sandy has to go. She tries to talk to him, and I won't listen. So then she goes and tells Brother Brad. Then he calls. Then we get in trouble. But see, it's not just for the benefit. It's like this. We know what's going on with you. You know what I'm saying? You have some people, their MO is they come to church, you know, 5-6 times a year, you know, and there's nothing wrong with them. And you say something, oh, well, I was doing this, you know, or so-and-so needed me to do that. And then the one time they're sick, and you don't call because the 15 times you called before that, wasn't nothing wrong with them. And you think, well, this is how they do. You know, they'll get it straightened out, be back. They come through the, I'm telling you right now, somebody that goes to this church could have just died and nobody cared. Y'all not saying nothing. This is not at all how I expected this to go. But notice what he says. He says, Demas forsook me because he loved this present world. If God is so gracious to allow me to do what I do. See, this is a privilege. Everybody don't get called to do what I'm doing. Everybody don't get called to do whatever it is God has called you to do. And it's not just something that he does. This is precious to God. And the Bible says that his callings, they're without repentance. You can be a five-fold minister sitting in the bar. He doesn't ever change that. It's a privilege, and we should honor God and do the things that he's called us to do as a privilege and be thankful that he's using us or allowing us to do things. You see what I'm saying? But he says Demas loved the world too much. He loved the world so much it caused him to forsake God, forsake the ministry, forsake God's people that I'm sure he probably said that he loved. I've seen it here time and time again. I really, when somebody walks in the door after the first time or two of being here and they say, ooh, I just love this little church and I just love all of y'all. I'm like, oh, great, here he comes. Why? Because after that, and this starts, oh, we was the best thing next to ice cream and now we're just scum of the earth. But y'all not saying nothing. Sandy's shaking her head, yeah, because she's been here from the beginning. Now, there's a lot of stuff she don't know about that has went on. But she's seen people and come in here and say all this kind of stuff. I don't care if you love us. Just don't even say it. Just come. You don't got to do all that saying it. Just come. Just do what you're supposed to do. But he said he loved the world too much, and we have to guard against that. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy 6. Now, this is a lot of reading here, but it's good. We're going to start in verse 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not, let me make sure I get this right. Yeah, it's 3 through 19. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He says, from such people withdraw yourself. He says, but godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Amplified Bible says in that verse, and it is indeed a source of immense profit. For godliness accompanied with contentment, that contentment which is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. He says, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Y'all ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse? You never will. Why? You can't take it there. Travis, he kids with me. They come out the house yesterday when they got back and everything, bring the kids or whatever, and he's like, I said something about my house, and he said, this is my house. Read the will. I said, not yet. And if you keep messing with me, it won't be. But now I can't take my house with me. I can't take my stuff with me. I can't take my vehicles. I can't take my clothes. But do you know how many Christians? Because all of these letters, the epistles that the Apostle Paul and others wrote, they wasn't to the lost. They're to the church. Now, sometimes he'll say something about the lost, but all these was written to the churches, to God's people. But do you know how many Christians that there is that their stuff means so much to them? So much. And he says here, some people even think that that's godliness. He said, but it's not. And he goes on and he says, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You might say, well, I thought you said, you know, the Bible says Proverbs 10:22. It does. Let me read it here in the Amplified, verse 9. He says, but those who crave. You got it up there, Beth? He says, verse 9, he says, but those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. I'm going to finish this in the Amplified. He says, for the love of money. You'll hear some people say, money's the root of all evil. That is not what the Bible says. There's nothing wrong with money. Money is not good and money is not bad. It is whatever the person that has it is. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving. Didn't y'all remember we read over there in Luke 8 and Mark 4 about craving and lust and desires? He says, it is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things. Aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses, in the presence of God who preserves all alive, all living things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I solemnly charge you to keep all his precepts unsullied and flawless, irreproachable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, which appearing will be shown forth in his own proper time by the blessed, only sovereign ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality in the sense of exemption from every kind of death and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. Unto him be honor and everlasting power and dominion. Amen. So be it. Verse 17, as for the rich in this world, I read this verse every day for a reason. He says, as for the rich in this world, when I read that, I say, that's me. He's talking to me. Why? Because I'm rich. He says, as for the rich in this world, and I say, that'd be me, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others. I believe it's he says over there, he says, that they be not high-minded. And when I read that part, I say, I'm not. He says, nor set their hopes on uncertain riches. And I say, I don't. But on God, I do, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Did you get what that said? He says, charge them. And he's talking to you. You might say, well, I'm not rich. Well, that shouldn't be your confession. Your confession should be. Why? Because the Bible calls you the rich. The Proverbs 10:22 over there, he says, the blessing of the Lord. When you get born again, the blessing of the Lord automatically comes on you. Now, there's things that you can do to increase that, walking in his ways, doing what he says and different stuff. But he says here, he says, to charge them to do good, to be rich in what? Good works. To be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others. In this way, laying up for yourselves, remember what we read in Matthew 6? Lay not up for yourselves treasures here on the earth. He says, but in heaven. In this way, laying up for yourselves the riches that endure forever as a good foundation for the future, so that they may grasp that which is life indeed. But notice that he just told us here, he gave us the answer to what he said over there in Matthew 6 when he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, some people might think, well, how do you do that? He just told you right here. Be ready to give. Be ready to distribute. Be generous. Be liberal. Just like anything God tells you to do, do it. And we're going to have to get on a little bit of stuff here. Well, not yet. We'll get away in a minute. Look at Beth, would you put up Hebrews 13:5, please? We're just going to read one verse on that, and I need to amplify, please. He says, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. Oh, that's what we got to guard against. He says, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, no, nor forsake thee. That's not the Amplified. Oh, sorry. Is that it? He says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. Remember what he said the root of all evil was? Not money, but the love for it. Some people would say, well, I don't love money. Well, we can tell if you do or not. He says, love of money, he said, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Now, he's not talking about that you can't want more or something different. It's this craving thing that he's talking about. He says, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. I mean, it was... God wants to add things to us, add prosperity to us, but he does not want us seeking it. He does not want us adding it to ourselves. That's one of the things, one of the reasons why credit is not good. Listen, everybody starts where they are. I'm not saying that you're yielding to the devil if you owe something or whatever. Been there, done that. There is what you have, you call it payment faith. You know, and then you're believing God that you get these payments paid off early and stuff. But how many knows God wants every one of us to come to a place to where either he gives it to us or he leads us and we go buy it. We don't do credit. Why? He says the borrower is subject to the lender. What's that mean? See, when I owe for something, I got to pay them first. Why? I promised them I would. So it don't matter what I feel like doing for somebody else. Y'all come on now, y'all get too quiet. It don't matter what I feel like doing for somebody else. It don't matter what God has told me to do about my finances. I told them I would pay that. Can you see how that goes? God wants us to be free to where if he says give it all, you give it all. Why? Because you trust him. You don't trust in uncertain riches. You don't trust in your job. I drive what I drive because I choose to. I have excellent credit. I'm only just a few points away from, what is that called? I forget now. What's that credit thing called? Whatever the score is, you know. I'm like 3 points away from the end of their chart. So I could have anything I want. You understand what I'm telling you? Now, I had to work. This is coming from two people that we had to pay $90 and they gave us $10 credit on a $100 weed eater. Now, I'm not standing up here waving my own flag and saying I did all this. No, God has did this. We had to work with him. Why? There is a process. But, I mean, we was absolutely burnt. We let a truck go back through GMAC and all kinds of stuff. I mean, Scotty would rent a house and we never paid no rent. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Over here now to where years down the road and listening to God and obeying God and doing the things that he said and letting him supply and yielding to him to where now I'm not in debt any longer. And I have excellent credit. And I could drive anything I want to drive. I choose to drive that truck. I have enough money right now that if I wanted to go buy me something else cash, I can do it. But I don't. Why? The Lord didn't tell me to. Oh, is there things my flesh wants? Yeah. Y'all seen that movie Bumblebee or Transformers, the little yellow Camaro? I'm not talking about old school Camaro. I'm talking about this new one. He looks like he's got eyes, and they're kind of like that. And he's black and yellow. Oh, my flesh. I almost say love that car because I love God. See, we got to be careful about saying, well, I love pizza and I love spaghetti and I love my house and I love my car. You better not love nothing but God and the things he says love. But I could have something else. But I don't have anything else because God didn't say have something else. And I'm very well pleased. The things that God gives, they satisfy. But if you let your heart go a different direction, you can even the things that God gave, they can become to where you're not satisfied with that no more. You got to have something else and something else and something else and something else. It's talking about that craving that he's talking about. You're never satisfied. There was one time that we lived over there at Berry Mountain, the foot of Berry Mountain on that little road there. And now, it's three people. Travis, he's a kid. He ain't even a teenager yet. And me and Scotty, and we live in a two-bedroom, 16-by-80 trailer. We got plenty of room. I mean, when we first moved in there, we didn't even have enough furniture to fill it up. I think we got mattresses or something from Sandy for Travis's bedroom. But anyway, my point to it is, I had all this stuff later, years down the road. And I told, we had front porch and a back porch, and I told Scotty, I said, listen, I want you to box in this back porch because I got to have somewhere to put this stuff. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? So y'all got to be real quiet. Well, I tell him, I want you box in this back porch here so I put this stuff in here. And I'm on him and on him and on him, you know, because I got to do something with this stuff. You know, it's just out here. I need somewhere to put this stuff because God forbid I get rid of it. Oh, y'all feel that? See, we don't know what you, don't look around, don't do nothing. We won't know what you, excuse me. And God spoke to me one day, and Scotty finally agreed that he'd do it. God spoke to me, and this is what he said. This is how he talks to me. He said, if you'll get rid of some of that junk you got, he said, you won't need to know where to put it. And I thought, well, I hadn't thought about that one. So as I did, I got rid of all the stuff I was going to put in the back porch storage room or whatever. And you know what? Lo and behold, Sandy, I had plenty of room. I didn't need nowhere to put nothing. Y'all not saying nothing. Do y'all know how much money? I know y'all don't know, but anyway, it's just a saying. I don't even know. I might could look it up. I don't know. Excuse me. How much money is spent on storage rent a year, a month? Y'all, golly, y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm serious. Just think with me here a minute. I mean, I don't know what they rent these out here for, but I mean, these things are all over the world, I'm sure. I know they are all over the United States. They're probably all over the world. Now, see, Scotty, he has a little bit of experience with this. He's went to auctions before where people didn't pay, so they're auctioning off their stuff and their thing, you know. I have a crock pot he got from that. 10 years ago. Anyway, and stuff like that, you know. And I mean, it's most of it is just a bunch of nonsensical nothing. Y'all not saying nothing. Ain't nothing they need. Ain't really sentimental value. It's just stuff. He goes to people's houses to fix their garage door. This really gets on Travis's nerves. And you have a trail that you gotta squinch up in. To get in, you can't even raise the garage door. You got to go in the house and go through the trail to get to the garage door, to raise the garage door, because if you raise it without side, all this stuff's going to fall over. And it's not like it is, I mean, priceless possessions, masterpiece art. It's not because it's just stuff. I know y'all ain't got none of that stuff. Now, see me, I'm not like that. Most of the time, I'll get rid of or throw away something, and then 2 months or 3 months down the road, be like, I wish I'd have kept that. I needed that or whatever. Now, Scotty, he's a little on the other side. Does a man really need 25 flathead screwdrivers? No. No. No, Monty. You better hear what I'm telling you. If you'll be a good steward, you won't. My point to that is this. What if there's somebody out there believing God for a flathead screwdriver? And you got 25 of them, and you don't even know where half of them are? You got a problem. You got too much stuff. I told Scotty this morning, he didn't know I was going to be ministering. I told him, I said, I rolled in there in my chair, you know, he was in the bathroom, and I said, doing his hair or whatever, and I said, well, I think I'm going to have to get rid of some of your stuff. He said, you better lay my stuff alone, get rid of your own. I said, I ain't got much. I said, look, the shirt I got on, it's got a hole in it right here. I mean, he can tell you, I don't have very much. Now, I do have some stuff, but I don't have a lot. Probably my biggest thing would be shoes. I like tennis shoes, and I have a problem because a lot of them I order off the internet, and then when they get there, they don't fit good. It's not the right size, something. So I give them away. You know, it's not like I keep them all in there or nothing. What are you laughing for, Beth? You got a pair of them right now. She said, order you some more. Order you some more. Why is God saying all this? This is a major pitfall for Christians. A major pitfall for Christians. I actually didn't realize how big this was until I started studying this. Let me read you the definition of covetousness. He said over there, flee covetousness for the love of money. It says in the back of the Strong's Concordance, it says, an insatiable desire for worldly gain. See, it doesn't matter if it's 50 pairs of shoes. Oh, what about your good china? I don't have good china. I could care less about good china. I have two different sets of dishes that come from a yard sale. Could care less about that. Now, mine might be in something else. Somebody's might be in good china. Listen, if you've not used it for the last 10 years, you know, and you leave it to your kids, you know probably what they're going to do. Well, what is this plate? I don't want that junk. Do you want that junk? No, I don't want that junk. They sell it in a yard sale or they give it away. Oh, but it was a prized possession to you. Oh, and here's one. What, Sandy? What are you patting Monty for his 25 screwdrivers? Oh, I didn't say it, Monty. Woo, somebody must be seeing some fruit somewhere. Anyway, no, that wasn't it. We'll get on Sandy's in a minute, maybe. But I mean, really, I have done it before. Not now, I mean, but I have done it before. Women are usually the worst ones about this stuff, to tell you the truth. Not all women, but the majority probably would be women that does this. You have from size 2 to size 22 hanging in your closet. And from a size medium to a 2X. And these mediums and these smalls and these size, they've been hanging here for 15 years. Why? Because you're going to wear them again. 15 years they've been hanging there and you're going to wear them again. Seriously. By the time you get to wearing them again, they're going to be out of style, honey. Can't you just go ahead and bless somebody with those? And if you need some more clothes, believe God to get you some. That. Why, I need them. Do you know how much money this would cost if I gave this away, if I bought it all back new? Carnal reasoning. Can God get you a whole new wardrobe or not? One that really fits you? I mean, I know what I'm talking about. You wear a size extra large girdle, but you buy a medium so you can just suck it all in there. Oh, the things God makes you do, I'm telling you. I can't wait for some of y'all to get up here, I'm telling you. I would like to hear somebody's stories besides mine. But I mean, I'm serious. You ain't wore the clothes in 15 years. And you're in a 22. If you started today, it's going to take you a while to get to a 2. If you ever even do. I don't know. You know, you got to work. Believe God and work hard. you know, and lay off the baby cakes or something. I mean, seriously. But, I mean, a lot of women, they have that kind of problem. Then, like I said, a lot of men, they have the screwdriver problem. Scotty, he has that. That man, bless his heart. Scotty is not a neat freak, I can tell you right now. He's not a neat freak. I'm not a neat freak either, but he really gets on my nerves sometimes. That man, he has tools galore. But he's got to go over here and buy another one because he can't find that one. And I'm like, if you would clean that junk up out of that floor of that shop up there, you might find 10 of them. But we can't do that because we don't got time for that. That would take time, Teresa, and I'm on a schedule. I've got to hurry. So we just run to the store and buy another one. Then we use it and throw it in the back of the truck or wherever we put it. And then the next time we need that same, I can't find it. I've got to go get one. Now, I'm not talking bad about you, Pastor. I'm just telling a story, okay? I'm just telling a story. And if you see yourself, it's because you are the same way. And I don't know it, but God knows it. I mean, the poor man, he can stay in the house and get dirty. I'm serious again. I mean, he's not a slob or anything like that. And I mean, when he eats, it's not just, you know, running down his face. But I mean, he can't eat without something on him. You know, and I'm like, I come out this morning to leave. You know where I find him? He's out there on that gator with his church clothes on, out there around and around the garden. I'm like, Scotty, nothing grew 2 inches from last night when he was out there. Then I go out to get in the truck, and he's out there with the hood up on my truck. And I'm like, what are you doing? I said, I hope you didn't get dirty. Oh, no, I'm not getting dirty. I think dirt looks for him. I'm serious. So, see, if you were one of those that you can't find anything and you got 25 of them, you need to do something else besides go buy another one. Why, somebody could be believing God for that screwdriver, Monty, that you don't need. I'm not saying nothing. I have my own. Every one of us has a little bit somewhere. And God has said, guard against this stuff. Why? Because this greed and this covetousness, that's the way the world is. Now, you got some people, they'll be givers. Listen, and it's not just people. Good grief. It's not just, I got to stop. Not just people that has money and stuff. I know people that I'm telling you, they can't even pay their bills, and they have always got the biggest phone, the latest little trinket. Oh, and these cups. We got to have a special cup with our name on it every day of the week. And that's why they can't pay no bills. And I got to stop because actually time is already way up. I feel like we didn't get nowhere on this yet. But anyway, y'all got anything y'all want to share right quick? Tell us about your stuff or whatever. Come on. What, Dars? Uh-oh. Hey, and she works at the giveaway building. Oh, yeah? So you still got work on? All right, we'll recess till 11.